Morning, brothers. Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 19 for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 19. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumption's sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us look to God in prayer. Our loving God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the time that you have given to us to gather together as your people and to sit under your word. We are thankful for your word, which is true, which is precious to us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that God, even as we sit under your word, you will prepare our hearts and our minds to receive it, Lord, in full surety. And may we leave this place to live out your word. We are submitting now our lives and ourselves under your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a great time to study the word of God. We are going through a series of 2 Timothy. Paul was writing this epistle at his end of his life. Generally, those who are going to die, if they know they are going to die, they tell the most important things to their children and their grandchildren. The same way, Paul was writing the most important things which were helpful to his beloved son, Timothy. Today we are going to look at chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Here, Paul commanded Timothy to do the most important things as a minister. We can say the most important duties of a minister. What is the most important duty of a minister that he must do? He explains in these two verses. This portion is not only for Timothy, at the same time, for us also, those who are going to be our ministers, those who are already preaching, ministering to his church. We read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God, not wrangle about words, which is useless, and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. I gave title to this two verse, that is, a minister's key duties in God's presence. A minister's key duties in God's presence. Look at verse 14. It says, remind them of these things. Charge them in the presence of God. Verse 15, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. If you look at verse 14, charge them in the presence of God. A minister has a duty, duties in the presence of God. If you see secular jobs, if anybody is doing job, if that boss is there, that person will do sincerely that work. If boss is not there, the people sometimes they neglect their jobs, right? They won't do their duties. But some are sincere, some are not sincere. But in secular job, master may be there or not. But here, God is there always. Whenever you are serving the church as a minister, when you are doing your duties, God is there with you. We need to sense God's presence. That's why he is saying, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Charge them in the presence of God, he said. So theme of this passage, a minister's key duties in God's presence. Here, three key duties of a minister in God's presence. First key duty of a minister in God's presence is remind the church about vital doctrine. Remind the church about the vital doctrine. Look at verse 14. He says, remind them of these things. Paul commanded Timothy to remind something. The idea is that Timothy must do it continually because, you know, it is imperative. Present imperative. That means he must do this one continually, habitually. It has an idea. He must make this his habit, regular habit. He must train himself in this. What is that? Reminding the church, reminding the congregation about the vital doctrine, key doctrines. The meaning of the word remind in Greek is to cause, to remember, bring to remembrance, recall to mind. Here, Timothy must cause his people to remember, bring to remembrance all the things that Paul wrote to him. That's what he is commanding. Remind them of all these things. You need to tell all these things. That's why I said first key duty of a minister in God's presence is reminding the church about the vital doctrine. This duty of a minister, but this duty is primary duty of a minister. Reminding the people, the congregation, is a primary duty of a minister. The minister should not think about others, whether they are doing it or not. Some preachers, they are not reminding key doctrines. But you need to do it because he is commanding to Timothy. He himself has to do it. He must remind all of the vital doctrines to his congregation, even though no one is doing it on the earth. That is a minister's responsibility. He must do continually. Look at, we need to consider the context. Why he said, remind them of these things. If you see context, look at verse 11 to 13. After writing from verse 11 to 13, Paul is saying, remind them of these things. These things is, look at the context. The context is, it is trustworthy statement. For if we die with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Then he said, verse 14, remind them of these things. A minister has to remind the vital doctrines. If you think the vital doctrines from verse 11 to 13, you can see clearly Christ's presence with those who suffer. Those things a minister has to remind. Christ's promise of his return and also his reign with us. And also he said Christ's denial of those who deny him. A minister has to remind the congregation, if you are denying Christ, Christ will deny. We heard last time, it is permanent denial. Is forgetting Jesus, denying Jesus permanently, then Jesus also going to deny. Then we see Christ's faithfulness towards his disciples. Christ is faithful. He cannot deny himself. These doctrines, vital doctrines, we need to remind to the congregation. That's what Paul is commanding Timothy. He's not commanding, sometimes you remind a vital doctrine. Sometimes you no need to remind. But he's saying the present tense, you know, you are reading, you're learning Greek, right? You have to remind ongoing state. Brothers, he commanded Timothy to remind key doctrinal things to the church because some are not reminding key doctrinal truth, but entertaining the congregation. If you see sometimes some people are preaching the word of God, but they are not preaching the doctrine, the truth. They are not reminding of the doctrine. Just they are making fun and telling all kind of stories. Timothy has a tendency to do it again. That's why Paul is commanding, remind the vital doctrines. Don't do it. Don't preach it for casually to make fun of congregation. John Piper, he said, when he wrote a book called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals, in that he said, he put difference between the entertainment-oriented preacher and biblical-oriented, Bible-oriented preacher. He gave the differences. He said about the entertainment-oriented preacher, he seems to be at ease talking about many things that are not drawn out of the Bible. In his message, he seems to enjoy talking about other things more than he enjoys talking about what Bible teaches. His words don't give the impression that this man stands as representative of God before God's people to deliver God's message. Just they are telling stories and helping congregation to love. But here Paul is commanding Timothy, remind them, remind the congregation about these things. Key doctrinal truth. That is our responsibility. That is our first duty, brothers and brothers. As a ministers of God, we need to remind our congregation. Not things that give entertainment. Don't have this goal. You need to please all audience, making every, when you prepare someone, just adding some funs and masalas, which is not from the Bible. But you need to stand for the truth. You need to remind the key doctrinal things. But to do this, you must learn. You must know the doctrines, right? To remind doctrines, you need to know the doctrines. We need to study key doctrines so that we may remind them. Brothers, if you don't know the vital doctrine, if you don't know the doctrines from the Bible, how can you remind? We need to study. But in what ways we can remind all the key doctrines? What are the platforms to remind? How, in what ways we can remind? If you think like that, if you ask like that, we can remind, preaching book by book, verse by verse, to cover all doctrines in the Bible. Don't choose always topical sermons. If you are preaching topical sermons, you can't cover all kind of doctrines. You need to preach book by book, verse by verse. But don't neglect OT. You need to preach Old Testament also. Then you can remind all key doctrines to your congregation. Not only that, answer their theological questions when they approach you. You need to remind them personally also. Teach systematic theology to your congregation in future after learning in PTS. Have some goal. In future, you need to teach systematic theology, doctrines to your congregation once in a month, twice in a month. Then you can remind the doctrines in the Bible because it is commanded. We have that responsibility, brothers. That is our first duty, to teach our congregation, to remind our congregation all vital doctrine. Brothers, we preach, we teach in our church. Study the scripture, not because people are asking, not people like our sermons. Others are preaching, so we need to preach good stuff. No one is there, so I need to preach. I need to remind these doctrines. It should not be our motivation, but our motivation is God commanded. God commanded us. That's why we need to remind key vital doctrines to our congregation. So you can use your preaching to remind doctrines. You can use the Bible study. You can use counseling. You can use marriage ceremony. You can use even funeral service to remind our vital doctrines to your congregation. You must have that, the goal. You must know that that is your duty as a minister, reminding our vital doctrines of Bible. We move on. Second key duty of a minister in God's presence, that is, warn the church against disputing with the world. Warn the church against disputing with the world. Look at verse 14, part B. And charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless, leads to the ruin of the hearers. Here, Paul is commanding Timothy to charge something to his congregation. If you see that word in original language, that is not command, that is not imperative, that is participle. But in Greek, sometimes participle can be imperative. Paul used imperatival participle here. That means he is commanding again by using the participle word, that is charging them in the presence of God. This is second duty, one in the church against disputing with the word of God. You see, meaning of the word charge in Greek is to exhort with authority in matter of extraordinary importance. Exhort with authority in matter of extraordinary importance. It has the idea that with authority, minister exhorts, warns. A minister, a pastor, has authority to warn the congregation so that they may not dispute with the word of God. But look at, he must do continually. Because it is again present tense. Again, it is present tense. He must warn continually, an ongoing state. That is his duty. Where? In the presence of God. In the presence of God. The literal meaning of this word presence in Greek is you warn before God, in view of God. We can say in the sight of God. Timothy should charge the church in the sight of God, in the presence of God. That means he should sense the presence of God whenever he preaches, whenever he wants. This indicates the truth of message is from God, God alone, and not from Timothy, not from any preacher. This indicates this is God's warning to his church so that they may not dispute with the word of God. This indicates God is witnessing with God, with Timothy is charged. Whenever you are preaching, anybody, any minister, but he must understand God is there. God's presence is there. Even now, God is with us. I am preaching the word of God in the presence of God. In the presence of God. But he must do. He must warn the congregation continually so that they may not argue or dispute with the word of God continually. That's what Paul is commanding. Why did Paul command Timothy to charge or win the congregation? There are some major things that false teachers dispute with right doctrine. There are some false teachers, they dispute with right doctrines. That's why Paul is saying, you warn the congregation. You warn. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. 17 to 18. It says, their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Verse 18. Men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they accept the faith of some. See, they said, they were preaching, resurrection has already taken place. But resurrection did not happen, but they are preaching, they are teaching these kind of doctrines. That's why a minister should warn the congregation so that the congregation may not follow these false teachers. They may not dispute with the word of God. Not only that, if you read the scripture, there are many false doctrines. There are many people who dispute with the word of God, right doctrines. There is no resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you read, some false teachers, they say there is no resurrection. Some people say there is no virgin birth. Some people say there is no rapture on second coming. There is no salvation without works. There are many false doctrines false teachers are teaching. If you are not warning them, your congregation, what will happen? They will follow false teachers. They will dispute with word of God. Some people say, we no need to go to church. Online church is enough. Because of coronavirus, pandemic situation, the new doctrines are coming. People are disputing with the word of God. But as a minister, you need to stand for it. You need to warn the congregation so that they may not dispute with the word of God. Some people focusing miracles alone, following charismatic movement. See, more people are coming to churches because some activities going on, right? Some people are doing some fun and making, dancing, something going. People are going there. So you should not compromise to get more congregation. If you have congregation, you need to tell the truth. You need to warn so that they may not dispute with the word of God. Because of these all things, there are many false doctrines, teachings going on in the churches, brothers. Because of all these things, a minister must warn, exhort with great authority so that congregation may not dispute with the word of God. You know, Jude chapter, only one chapter, Jude verse 3 says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. See, he said, you contend earnestly. Contend means fight for the faith. In this context, faith means sound doctrine. You need to fight for the sound doctrine because there are many false teachers. They are teaching wrong doctrines. Your congregation may follow them. So you need to fight for the true doctrine. You need to warn your congregation. That is your duty. That is your duty. Sometimes, no, even ministers, if I warn, they feel bad. Why I should be in trouble warning their sin and following wrong doctrines? Some ministers feel like that, but this is commanded in the scripture. You need to preach, you need to warn with authority. Authority, that's what he said. Charge them in the presence of God. If you are charging, if you are warning your congregation, that is from God. God is giving that authority. You are representing God to protect the church. Protect the church. Here we have two strong reasons why a minister must warn the congregation. The first reason why a minister must charge the congregation is it is unprofitable to the saints. It is unprofitable to the saints. Look at verse 14, which is useless. Disputing with the word of God is useless. There is no good in it. There is no profit disputing with the word of God. Here Paul is saying that over a period of time, nothing useful. If your congregation, if you are disputing with the word of God, that is useless. That is not profitable to the saints. Here, useful means in Greek, beneficial, advantageous. Paul is saying that disputing with the word of God is no beneficial, no advantageous to the saints. To the saints. That's why you need to warn. If it is useful, you can allow, right? If it is useful, you can allow. If it is not useful, you should warn them not to do. For example, I have my baby Rhea. Sometimes, not now, she was going to put her finger into the plague box. We told her by giving some punishment that you should not put your hand into the plague. She doesn't know. We need to warn our baby as a parent to protect her from danger of life, physical life. But what you are doing is, you are warning your congregation so that you can protect your congregation, so that they may not dispute with the word of God. If they dispute with the word of God, that is useless. That is useless. Second strong reason why a minister must charge the congregation is, it is dangerous to the hearer. It is dangerous to the hearer. Look at verse 14, part B. Which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. If the congregation is disputing with the right doctrine, that is dangerous for them and also others, if they are preaching those things. Here Paul is saying that dispute, fight with the right doctrine, is not only useless and also destruction, those who hear it over a period of time. You know, meaning of the word ruin in Greek is destruction. This word is opposite of the edification. Opposite of the edification. No edification only brings destructions if they argue with the right doctrines. If your congregation, your friends, your Christian friends, if they are arguing with the right doctrine, they are in the danger, spiritual danger. That's what Paul is saying. The same word used in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 6. Paul wrote like this. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes. The same word used, destruction. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In the same way, it is dangerous to those who hear. those who dispute with the word of God, right doctrines. Why they are fighting against the word of God, Sodom and Gomorrah? They rejected key doctrines. They rejected the doctrine of marriage. They rejected the doctrine of holiness. They rejected the doctrine of God. They were homosexuals. Angels came to visit Lot, but they are coming to have sex with those, even angels. They are doing sins. They did not honor the doctrines, the plan of God. That's why God judged them. God destroyed them. If the congregation, anybody, any minister is disputing the word of God, God is going to judge that person. That is destruction. Destruction. We must be very careful, brothers and sisters. First of all, you should not dispute with the word of God before you warn your congregation, your friends. The word of God refers to something, you should agree with it. Lay aside all your opinions about some doctrines before you know the Bible. I know I also studied in PTS. Before I came, I have many opinions about doctrines. But when I came here, when I'm listening from professors, just I am throwing out all my opinions about some doctrines. See, that is not biblical, but I believed before. When you are sitting in the class, when professor is teaching from the Bible, if it is from the Bible, you need to leave your opinions. You may say, no, we are accepting, but there is a tendency to dispute with the word of God. If the professor is disputing with the word of God, won't listen. If the professor is teaching from the Bible, you need to accept, you need to leave your all opinions. If you are not obeying, if you are not agreeing with the word of God, how can you warn others so that they may not dispute with the word of God? I know one friend, I'm not going to name him. He was my classmate when I was studying PTS. What happened? One day he was watching Benyan, who is that charismatic? A great person, charismatic person. Benhin. He was watching Benhin miracles, those things. I asked. I thought he was watching just to laugh. Sometimes to have joke, to have fun, some people watch his videos. I thought he is watching for fun. But I asked, why are you watching? He said, yeah, see how he is doing miracle, he said. Then I sat with him almost 1 hour. 1 hour I am begging, I am teaching from Bible. See, this is not right, this is not right. But he disagreed. Unfortunately, he left PTS. If he stay here, he has to accept the right doctrine. He left the PTS. He left PTS seminary in his second year. See, brothers, even you, if you see any truth, any doctrine from the scripture, if it is proven, you need to accept, you need to leave all your opinions. You need to have that humility, brothers. Brothers, congregation will be attracted by false teachers, teachings. When you are not warning them, charging in the presence of God, they may dispute with the word of God, which will hurt them. It will hurt many people. That will lead to destruction sometimes. If it is small doctrinal issue, left-hand issues, no problem, they can come to heaven. If that is key issues like doctrine of God, doctrine of Christ, doctrine of salvation, if they are disputing with the word of God, they are going to hell. There is a danger of destruction, eternal hell even sometimes, because of you are not warning your congregation. At the same time, brothers, as I said, sometimes some members of the church will not listen to your warnings. They may leave the church. They may hurt you. They may say some bad words about you. This pastor is, Badani is not good. Something they will say against you if you are warning. Be ready to face consequences. If you are standing for the word of God, Don't think if I am preaching the word of God, everybody will listen to you. Some people disagree with you. While you are preaching, some man, some Christian brother, he will change his face also. He won't listen to your sermons when you are warning. But you need to charge them. That is our duty. That is our duty. I still remember what Pastor Chris said in Indian Church History class. He said like this: if you are not willing to be hurt by others as a minister, if you are not willing to be hurt by others as a minister, go and sell banana. Go and sell banana. Brothers, you are doing the most important thing. You are fighting against Satan. You are fighting against the world. When you are preaching sound doctrine, when you are warning people, some things come against you. But you must be courageous. You must be courageous because it is commanded in the scripture. This is our second duty. Warning the church against disputing with the word. The third key duty of a minister in God's presence. Third key duty of a minister in God's presence is presenting yourself to God as a proven workman. Presenting yourself to God as a proven workman. Look at verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the truth of God. Here Paul says that be diligent. Again, he used imperative. You know, aorist imperative. The aorist imperative in Greek, it has the idea urgency of doing. Urgency of doing. You need to do this action urgently. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is commanding Timothy. He has to begin this action urgently. The action is be diligent. Be diligent. The meaning of the word diligent in Greek is to be jealous or eager. The meaning of this word in Greek is take pains or make every effort. Make every effort. That is what Paul is commanding. Timothy must be diligent. Timothy must make every effort for the good goal, a good purpose. That is to present himself approved to God as workman. The meaning of the word to present in Greek is to make. Timothy must make himself. That is his responsibility. He must make himself as a proven workman before God, in the presence of God. The word approved in Greek is to be genuine on the basis of testing. Basis of testing. When God tests you, you must be find out as genuine workman. Workman means laborer, laborer. You, when God sees you, when God tests you, you must be a proven, the genuine person, genuine laborer, not fake laborer. That's what Paul is commanding. How can a minister make himself a proven workman before God without being ashamed? Look at the answer is given at end of verse 15. Verse 15. Accurately handling the word of truth. This is the way you can present yourself. You can make yourself as proven workman before God. See, look at the meaning of the word handling. In Greek, it is to make straight or cutting it straight. Bible teacher says, Paul used this word because he was a tent maker. When he cuts a leather, when he cuts a material to make tent, he cuts with rightly. Correctly he cuts. He has some designs, right? According to his designs, he will cut. That's why Paul is using this kind of word. As a laborer, as a workman, you need to cut it properly, cut rightly. That means to teach the truth correctly. Guide the word of truth along a straight path, like a road that goes straight to its goal, right? Some roads will go straight to reach the goal, but you need to cut it properly. Paul is saying that a minister must not be ashamed before God because of his interpretation of the word of God or preaching the truth. Timothy must interpret and teach the word of truth accurately. It is commanded in the Bible. For that, he must be diligent. He must work hard to preach the word of God accurately. I hope that's why you came to PTS. That's why you joined PTS. So that you may know the word of God, so that you may preach the word of God accurately. I hope you did not come to PTS to have fun. You came to PTS so that you can preach the word of God accurately. You are doing for what God called you. Praise God. But you need to think about yourself. Even though you come to PTS, sometimes you make mistakes when you interpret the Bible, when you are preaching the word of God. Take very seriously, brothers. Some people, they don't like to come to a seminary. They think they can preach rightly. Yeah, some people like Charles Spurgeon, if they work hard, they can preach. But better to come to a seminary and sit under a man of God, better to learn things so that we can preach the word of God accurately. Brothers, many verses in the Bible can be preached without accuracy. For example, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some people say Son means, so Father is greater than Jesus because he is Son, firstborn of all creation. Some people think he was created being, but the firstborn of all creation is not talking that one. Work out your salvation, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Some people use this verse and say you need to do some actions to be saved. Was Abraham justified by his works? James chapter 2, verse 21. It looks like Abraham justified by his works, but we need to think, we need to preach accurately some passages in the Bible. You know, even Son of Man does not know about his coming, second coming of Messiah. One preacher, he was famous preacher, he was teaching in public meeting. Look at congregation. Even Jesus did not know when he is coming. Is it right? There are many scripture portions in the Bible. We need to be careful when we are preaching. You must study those all kind of passages to deal rightly when you are preaching. We must work hard to preach these kind of texts accurately, brothers. Brothers, God cares about preaching the word of truth accurately. You remember Abner Cho, he explained in hermeneutic class, God cares about interpretation, preaching the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19-20. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19-20. It says like this: It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. That prophet shall die. Abner Cho reminded us, the misinterpretation is a moral issue. If you are not teaching the scripture accurately, you are doing sin. What is the punishment of sin? That prophet must die. That prophet shall die. See, God is killing prophets. God is punishing prophets if they are not preaching the word of God accurately. This is something serious, right? We are dealing with fire. We must be very careful how you interpret the Bible. Take very seriously, brothers. Take very seriously. Because God is taking very seriously. Because if you preach the word of God wrongly, in wrong way, then so many lives go in danger. Generally, those are useless, right? Those are dangerous to others. Brothers, when you interpret and preach, teach the word of God accurately, you will be not ashamed in the presence of God. See here, presence of God is not saying in future. The presence of God means right now. You are not ashamed of things which you are doing in front of God. If you miss the interpretation or accuracy in your preaching, you will be ashamed before God. You present yourself as an unproven, ungenuine workman. So you must make every effort to preach the word of God accurately. That's why he said, be diligent, make effort, because it is not easy. It is not easy to preach the word of God accurately. You need to work hard. You know, many examples, like John Calvin, John MacArthur, good preachers always work hard to preach the word of God. Those who preach the word of God, like falsely, those people are not studying the word of God. Just they are spending little time on preaching the word of God, doing many mistakes. If you want to preach the word of God accurately, you must work hard. That's what he said, be diligent. It is commanded, it is imperative. You need to do it urgently. What are some efforts? What are some labors that you make to preach the word of God truly? You see, brothers, learn every subject in PTS, in seminary, diligently, which is helpful to preach the word of God accurately. Don't neglect anything. You need to learn everything in PTS so that you can preach the word of God accurately. Read the whole Bible again and again. At least finish the word of God at least once in a year, once in 2 years, if you are going very slow. Reread your preaching scripture portion. You need to reread your scripture portion. You need to know the grammar, original language, if it is possible. Otherwise, English grammar. I remember still, even I can make outlines without looking at original Greek, because I learned English grammar with Professor Niju. He taught very clearly. He came to know a preposition, purpose clause, many things I learned so that we can make it. We can preach the word of God accurately. He focused many times that you need to press main phrase, main clause. Many things we need to learn, even grammar. We need to work hard to interpret the Bible accurately. You need to do the word study. That is called lexical study. Find out the range meaning, then theological meaning. If you see the word, you need to think about that word. How Paul was used. How John was used. How this word used in Old Testament. You need to search. You need to study about that word so that you can interpret the word of God rightly. Find out author's intention in writing. Knowing the background of author, background of audience. There are many things to do. You need to work hard. You must have patience, because it takes a lot of time to prepare one sermon. Generally for me, like each sermon 15 to 25. Based on difficulties. You need to spend almost 15 to 25 hours to prepare one sermon. If you prepare, if you work hard, after that, go and look at some good commentaries. After that, not first. After that, go and look at some good commentaries. If you are not sure about your interpretation, to check whether your interpretation is wrong or right, refer some good commentaries. But if you go directly commentaries, what kind of work you do, you will follow that man. Maybe he is wrong in that portion. So you need to work hard. You need to be diligent to prepare your sermon so that you can preach the word of God accurately. Again, I'm quoting John Piper, who wrote the book, right? Brothers, we are not professionals. I said he wrote the difference between an entertainment-oriented preacher and a Bible-oriented preacher. I said about entertainment-oriented preacher, so I am quoting, who is Bible-oriented preacher? He said, the Bible-oriented preacher sees himself as I am God's representative sent to God's people to deliver a message from God. He thinks about himself. He knows that only way he can deliver God's message to God's people is by soaking his sermon with God's own revelation in Bible, not telling all other stories, not telling all his interpretations. He constantly tries to show the people that his ideas are coming from the Bible, not from his own opinion, not from other books. Every idea should come from the Bible. He shows that one. That finally, people leave the preaching of the Bible-oriented preacher with a sense that the Bible is supremely authoritative and important. They feel less entertained than struck at the greatness of God and the weighty power of his word. When people leave after listening to your preaching, they should sense you are preaching the word of God from the Bible. You are giving ideas, principles from the Bible. They can sense that the power of the word of God when after listening to your sermon. That should be your goal. That should be your standard, brothers. God may make us the Bible-oriented preachers who are unashamed workmen before God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this time. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to do your ministry, to serve your church. Lord, help us to do your duties which you have given us as a ministers. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to know the doctrine so that we can remind all vital doctrines to congregation, to our families, and also help us to warn so that we can protect the congregation, Lord, from false teachers. Lord, help us, make us hard workers, Lord, to study your word, to know the meaning of your word, so that we can help our families, our friends, church members, for your glory. Lord, help us, give us the sense that we must preach only your word, not our opinions. Lord, make brothers, Lord, here, those who are working hard in study, Lord, make them more and more faithful men of God so that they can be useful for your glory, for your kingdom. Jesus' name I pray.